We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST. Most on any order at manscaped.com. It's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Isn't this a sports show?
Clinton has said accurately, I might add, on the Facebook page. Almost Entirely Sports, the show where Josh reads all of his tweets. And I have no counter-argument to that. That is true and fair.
Almost Entirely.
Excuse me. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I am Joshua Briscoe. Rudy with the reverse slam. Beard with a judgmental gaze. What's up, Beards? How you doing?
I'm here.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What more could you possibly ask for? Not only do we have the Kansas City Chiefs' entire 18-week, 17-game schedule, we also got a little drop in the bucket of Kansas City Chiefs news just a little while ago, and there's no Royals game, so we could talk about them tonight if we had any reason to. They lost again earlier today. Made it close to the end, wasn't enough, and that might conclude our Royals coverage for the next hour. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Can I give you a funny little Royals thing?
I would love that. I'd love something to make me laugh from Royals baseball instead of simply crying.
I just went to the standings.
I was still talking, I felt like.
I just went to the standings, and because I was just curious, like baseball standings. Mm-hmm. And it shows the last 10, and the Royals were just 0-10 because they were on a 10-game losing streak, and the other bad teams were like 3-7. I was like, huh. The Royals had just gone 3-7 during this stretch. They'd be 19-16 and 2.5 games back of the White Sox.
Yep.
Instead of 16-19, which is now 16-20 and was 5.5 back, now probably 6.5 back.
Yeah, 6.5. Right now it's 6.5. It's an 11-game losing streak for the Royals. And you're right, Rudy. If they would have been merely bad, would have been merely bad instead of being blatantly, absolutely apocalyptic.
Yep.
They'd be in the mix.
Just be tied for the worst record in the last 10 games.
Adding three wins, yeah, change everything. You're right there. All you gotta do, maybe you steal a couple from the White Sox, and all of a sudden, they are 6.5 games back in a division that they were leading 45 minutes ago. Not great. Which will obviously contribute to where we begin the show today. Hey, Beards, there's no audio on the video stream.
Interesting.
Something to look into.
Are we
interesting?
Are we on the radio?
Okay. Are we on the radio? Is this being recorded? Is my mic on? Are my headphones working? Beards, can I get a legit thumbs up on the rolling, the fact that things are happening over there?
We have audio.
Excellent.
Not on video, but we'll get there.
I'll let you figure that out. Here's what I'll give you in the meantime for everybody who's not watching on the video stream. Where it's also very bright in the studio right now. Love being on at 6 o'clock. Is a challenge for our very thin curtains.
Mm-hmm. And there's like a little like opening at the top where it just sneaks in a little bit.
Yeah.
We have audio. We fixed it.
Good work, Beards.
Thank you.
Did you accidentally mute something?
No, the audio source got deselected for some reason. Mm. So I had to reselect that.
I agree with Beards. We did fix this. Good job, Josh.
Thank you, Rudy. Good job by you as well. Let's talk about the Chiefs, though, because we have two very good reasons to. We will talk to our friend David Leskey in an hour. When we talk to him, we won't talk about the Chiefs. We will, in fact, talk about the Royals and also his incredibly good newsletter that he put out today, or late last night, early this morning. I read it today on Inside the Crown. It's just a bunch of GIFs of puppies, and then there's a Bobby Witt Jr. home run, and then you can stop reading. A great newsletter for a tough time.
Just actually scroll really fast to the end. One more puppy gif.
Is that true?
Yeah, the very end. There's one more puppy one, and it's actually a bunch of puppies. Just kind of like they're just kind of sitting there, and the head just kind of nod to the side in unison. You're just like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
I was actually reading that, and the reason that I didn't get past the Bobby Witt Jr. highlights because I was watching that, and then we got a cheese trade. Chiefs trade. The Chiefs have traded. This is going to shock you. People who know about Brett Veach, it's going to be stunning news. The Kansas City Chiefs traded for a former first-round draft pick, something that Brett Veach just never wants to do.
A quarterback.
No, unfortunately not.
Dang.
A cornerback, though. Some could argue, might be a better fit for the Chiefs. Brett Veach loves the reclamation projects, right? DeAndre Baker is the most recent one. He obviously wasn't traded for. He was outright cut because of all the stuff that really wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
That story is bonkers. We can revisit that maybe whenever we get a little closer to the season. Looks like he might get back on the field. But he broke his leg, so obviously his ETA is his whole timeline has been jacked up now by the injury he suffered week 17 last year. But you get really ranging from DeAndre Baker back to really in the cornerback room. They traded Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward. They trade up to back into the draft for Bo Pete Keys. You look at the guys that were former high draft picks. Emmanuel Ogba ended up really paying dividends. Taco Charlton is one of those guys in the process right now. Damian Wilson was where did Damian Wilson go?
From the Cowboys. Or wait, where did he go?
I think he was not quite a
He was, I want to say he was like a fourth round pick.
I think he was a mid round pick. I think that's right. I think that one isn't as, you know who was?
I mean, third day.
Another linebacker. Darren Lee was a first round pick. Did that one work out perfectly? No. Was he a competent player on a good football team? Yes.
Damian Wilson, fourth round pick.
It was Darren Lee that I think I was scratching the surface for there. Again, another first rounder there.
High first round pick, too.
Those types of guys, I mean, I think maybe the one even before that, back when they traded for Reggie Ragland, right? Those
Cam
types
Irving.
Of moves, Cam Irving is a good one. Those types of moves always make me happy because, it's a nice little reminder of the fact that we probably shouldn't assume that every single NFL draft pick, much less every high draft pick, is going to turn into a multi-year starter. We all do it. If you're a top 20 pick, nobody the day after the draft says, I think that dude's going to be off the team in 3 years. But it's going to be true about a decent percentage of guys even taken in the first couple of rounds, even the first round, even the top 20 picks. But what the Chiefs did today was trade for former first-round cornerback Mike Hughes from the Minnesota Vikings.
They had just declined his fifth-year option about a week ago or so, and which is a pretty good indicator of how they were feeling about him. He's had injury issues in Minnesota. He was out of UCF most recently. He only played two full college seasons, but he transferred to UCF and played 1 year there, went into the draft, was selected 30th overall, and the Chiefs add this guy to their mix for a 2022 sixth round pick while also getting a 2022 seventh round pick in return. This does not cost you a dart throw. This is not costing you an opportunity to pick a player. This is a move back that is much like what they did to move up to go get Noah Gray in this year's draft. You move back numbers, but you're not actually giving up a full selection. It is as limited a trade swap as you could possibly give up, and for the Chiefs, it's a flyer that makes a lot of sense.
The simple way to think about it is the Chiefs traded back, and instead of acquiring an extra pick, they acquired a player.
Yep.
Like that they essentially traded back in the 2022 draft to pick up a player.
Now, one of the things with getting guys on their rookie deals still who are in that range is a guy who clearly disappointed for his draft, his draft stock. One advantage there is getting them super cheap, hopefully for a little while. Because they declined his fifth-year option, he's going into his fourth year this year. This is the last year that he's under a rookie contract. But the Chiefs right now have a lot of guys who are in a very similar spot in terms of their status on the roster right now. You get L'Jarius Sneed, super cheap. Rashad Fenton, super cheap, who will have a... he's going into his fourth year? Yeah, double check on Rashad Fenton.
Going into his fourth year.
I think this is the last year for Rashad Fenton. Charvarius Ward signed his tender, but he'll be an unrestricted free agent next offseason. DeAndre Baker's a totally wonky story because he's actually released. Yeah. So Fenton will have a fourth year after this then.
One more year for Fenton.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. And only 2019 was his rookie year. It feels like he's been here longer than
that. Yeah, it really does. But so you have all of these guys who are all cheap as things currently stand, and some of them are going to be gone after this year. Some of them maybe they'll extend. What are they going to do with Ward? We'll figure that out as we go. But I really do think that corner, edge, and receiver at various levels still have room for the Chiefs to tinker with. And corner might be the spot that I think has, with edge being a close second here, both of those positions are places that I could see the Chiefs being exploited in some way over the course of the season. Now, does that mean that we're going to go through the schedule later on and you're going to find out that I have them being a 4-win team? No, it does not. I am not that kind of worried about it. But I am thinking, well, whenever they play the Ravens, are they going to be able to keep up with a rejuvenated group of receivers? Are they going to be able to go pressure Josh Allen, right? Those types of things are the things that I think maybe the only ranges on the Chiefs as a team right now where you might be able to say, you know what? I'm not actually convinced that that's going to work out for them. And so continuing to add talent there, 1,000% works for me. Specifically with Hughes, in fact, our friend Nick Jacobs at 41 Action News tweeted out his 2018 pre-draft report on Hughes, which I thought was really very clever, very smart to do, and also a nice little insight back into where he was at then. He says, fantastic press coverage corner, very hard jams, he mirrors very well, closes well, but always stays in position because of smooth quarter turns, can play zone and press, tracks the ball really well, gets into position, ideal tackler, aggressive, doesn't hesitate. Those are all things that you would take in any defense, but those are all really things that make sense for Steve Spagnuolo, what he asks his corners to do, to be able to jam at the line, to be a press coverage guy, to get physical there. Spags would love to have that in his toolbox. So that all sounds spectacular. You also have to keep in mind, he struggled to stay healthy really at all in Minnesota. He appeared in 24 games over the course of 3 years. He started 7 games in 3 years, had a couple of picks. They just moved him for a next to nothing pick swap. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to hold all those things in your head at once. This is what, in this case, Nick, or what Brett Veach or the Chiefs thought about him before the draft, and this is what the Vikings thought about him today. Those are two very different starting points, but if you're the Chiefs, that pick swap is unlikely to end up being consequential. And if you think that with maybe it's coaching or scheme or usage, or maybe he just had bad injury luck that you don't think is going to continue being an issue, and you think that, on that giant range of outcomes, he's something closer to what he was before the draft in your mind, it's absolutely a gamble worth taking. So I say all of that as like a little optimism and a little, I don't know, hesitance to crown him as the Chiefs' new best corner, because also corner is a super volatile position. What I love, absolutely love, is that this is not a four-man depth chart now.
Yep.
Now, we're going to get back to the top of it here in a second. I'm going to tell you what concerns me. I'm going to tell you about something that was tweeted out by one of our guests on tomorrow night's show, Matt Verderam of FanSided. What I love, though, is because it's a volatile position, because unless you have an absolutely elite of elite player, unless you have literal Jalen Ramsey, you're going to get game-to-game variance, you're going to get year-to-year variance. It's just sort of a part of the equation right now for cornerback play. Just a tough, incredibly tough position where you fluctuate. Well, right now, you say, all right, here's what the Chiefs need. The Chiefs need three of these guys to be good and also healthy at all times. Charvarius Ward, Legarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker, currently rehabbing a broken leg, Mike Hughes, maybe even Bo Pete Keys if you're feeling like maybe he's got some growth to have there. There are six guys, and I've got Keys being the last one to the party. He was a flyer and right now is a special teamer in my mind.
He's part of the group in the sense that he's a corner who I expect on the roster, but a corner who you expect to on a day-to-day basis. I mean, Rashad Fenton like struggles to get like consistent snaps on a game-to-game basis. Like, it would be crazy to think that all of, and when he does, he plays well, typically, but so it'd be crazy to think that Bo Pete Keys is all of a sudden going to just be like this starting corner for the Chiefs.
Well, and so now let's make it five. So now you say of those five guys, you need three to be good and healthy at all times. And you'd love to have a fourth you felt pretty good about.
Yeah.
That's an okay group. That group is not going to have to panic sign Orlando Scandrick. But or David Amerson.
That hurt thinking about it. Always, good tackler.
I'm trying to gauge how long ago this was. I'm not sure if you were here for this, Rudy.
I watched David Amerson give up a catch, he always tackled the guy.
Beards, do you remember how mad I got about David Amerson for like 2 weeks of training camp? I just remember having some vitriol, not towards Orlando Scandrick, but to Mo Claiborne, but specifically to David Amerson.
Yeah.
David Amerson really pissed me off for some reason.
Vaguely? I'm trying to remember when it was. Was it, though?
That's fine.
Because he was bad, I assume?
It was because he wasn't very good, and I felt like there was some sort of dishonesty or bad strategy.
Was it
there?
Around that time that did they get rid? Maybe there was a corner that they had gotten rid of.
You know,
I can't really remember.
I just can't remember either. I'm just envisioning a world without socks, but I can't place anything else.
And David Amerson was the.
I don't know where that came from, guys.
He was the ball hawk who was supposed to replace the other ball hawk.
I just remember being mad about David Amerson for some reason.
Good tackler.
It was probably Marcus Peters adjacent.
That answers my question as to when.
It was around then. It was right ahead. Yeah.
Good tackler, though.
Anyway.
I was around for this.
I was so mad about that because it also just felt like a really bad bet.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather see this team gambling on cheap acquisitions for young guys that you loved out of the draft 3 or 4 years ago, not 7 or 8 years ago, but 2 or 3 or 4 years ago that you think, you know what, they haven't fully hit their ceiling yet.
Yeah.
We think we can bring them in also now, a difference between the David Amerson days. You have a coaching staff that is good for its players, yes, as opposed to actively making them worse on the football field and dropping them into coverage.
And you look
by
at
them, I meant the pass rushers.
You mean that wasn't Justin Houston's preferred position?
No, not in my mind. I don't think it was.
I mean, Justin Houston's going to go in the Chiefs Hall of Fame like as one of the all-time great corners.
Yes, slot corner extraordinaire, yeah. Justin Houston.
But yeah, like, and even with Mike Hughes, like you throw in the fact that there are like some injury concerns there, right?
Yep.
So it's not like obviously some of it is on play, some of it's also injury. So
yep.
You think, hey, we believe that maybe that's behind them. We have faith in our medical staff with our coaching, yada, yada, yada. You throw all that together.
So here's the other thing. When you have five guys in that group, Legarius Sneed, freak injury, but he got hurt last year, broke his collarbone, missed a bunch of time. Tre'Davious Ward has predominantly stayed pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a thumb thing.
Yeah.
But he's had just a thing happen because he's playing a violent sport.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rashad Fenton has stayed healthy. He might have had a hammy for a couple of games, but I don't think he missed time with it. And then you have DeAndre Baker coming off of a broken leg and Mike Hughes having just injury issues throughout his career so far.
Fenton hurt both of his ankles when they lost to the Chargers
at the end of last season. That's right. He did. I forgot about that. So there you go. You can literally put a little injury red flag on every single one of these guys to varying degrees, obviously. But you can also put highs and lows on their play, right? For Snead, he was great in multiple positions, but for 1 year, for like a dozen games, all things said and done. For Ward, his best year was not this last season, but the year before it. Which one is the most real Tre'Davious Ward? Really hard to say with confidence. For Mike Hughes, if you went off his draft profile, you'd be stoked. But can he be healthy? And also, can he play better than he did in Minnesota? For Rashad Fenton, sixth round pick who way overachieved his draft slot, but probably can only play in the slot, and it doesn't seem like he's gotten full 100% starting slot cornerback trust from the Chiefs, who would love to have him be their fourth guy. For DeAndre Baker, great talent, played well. His off-the-field stuff is not real off-the-field stuff at this point, but his broken leg is. He hurt it in his first game with the Chiefs week 17 last year. So, this is the thing I really want to make sure I do get clear. I actually really like all five of those guys, at least in their various roles and acquisition costs, right? Tre'Davious Ward for Parker Anger and then having a great cap hit a bunch of years in a row, including this year. Love it. Legarius Sneed is a fourth-round pick. Stupendous. This gamble for Mike Hughes, absolutely fine by me. DeAndre Baker, love it. Rashad Fenton is a sixth-round pick. Are you kidding me? Fantastic. But there are red flags across all of those guys in various places. And if you end up in a spot where you just have simply some bad luck, now Bo Pete Keys is in the mix. Or now maybe you're forcing one of those guys who's underperforming back into action when you would really rather have something more stable there. I really like them making this move for Hughes because it costs so very little on a lottery ticket that you feel on a penny stock. It's a stock that just crashed, right? This player's stock was first round draft pick value in 2018, and it's cratered since then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can buy in there and make something out of it. But if that's the last move the Chiefs make in their defensive backfield, I'm going to be bummed out. What I really hope they do still is bring back Bashaud Breeland for his third year here. Give him three consecutive one-year deals. I think I'm alone on an island on this. Maybe I'm a kook. But I would, if Bashaud Breeland said, just give me that, but over 2 years. Just give me a 2-year deal that would give you an uncomfortable cap hit to let me go in year two, and I just want to have some security for 2 years. If it's at a reasonable price, I would do that for the reasons I'm laying out here right now. I love buying all these stocks super low, but I would also love not just to add another body, but to add one to the top of the depth chart. If Bashaud Breeland ends up back in Kansas City, he is one of your outside starting cornerbacks, period. In my world, I think what I would prefer would be to have Breeland on the outside, Ward on the outside, and keep Snead in the slot, and let Steve Spagnuolo continue to do the weaponizing of Legarius Snead that he did after he came back from his injury last year. That's my favorite spot for Snead. The issue is that it unless you're moving him outside in sub-packages, which you're in 70-75% of the time, right? If he's only coming in on sub packages, then maybe your best corner or your second best corner isn't on the field for 30% of the snaps. And I totally understand that can be a difficult thing to solve. And it is a lot to ask a young corner to play the outside in base packages and then to kick into the slot in sub packages and to just do that over the course of 17 games, 100% of the snaps. That's a lot. My inclination would be to just bite the bullet on that, and if you have Breland and you have Ward on the outside, that's how you start your year. If Ward takes another step back, what do you have all of a sudden? You have flexibility. If Ward takes a step back, or if Breland ends up with Matt Derrick, last time we talked to him, mentioned that he maybe could still have a suspension from the incident from last season, last season. If Breland gets suspended, or if Ward takes a step back, or if any of those guys with varying levels of injury concerns get hurt, now all of a sudden, you can move L'Jarius Sneed back outside, and Rashad Fenton can come play the spot that he seems most comfortable in, which is in the slot. If you have Sneed get hurt again, Fenton into the slot. If Mike Hughes or DeAndre Baker come out and you cannot keep them off the field and they're performing better than Charvarius Ward, then all of a sudden Charvarius Ward in this last year of his in this restricted free agent deal that he signed that'll keep him here for one more year, well, now all of a sudden Charvarius Ward is the guy that steps in if something else breaks bad somewhere else. That's a wonderful place to be. But the only hesitancy that I think people can come up with here is really that right now they've got a pretty good group that is very deep but isn't very wide, I guess. I just need another unit of measurement. This is a very deep roster, but it doesn't have – it's not deep with a bunch of surefire starters or probable Pro Bowlers. I think right now, Sneed, even with Breland on the roster, Sneed is the guy that has the highest ceiling at this point.
For sure.
Also, in part, being the guy with the most unknowns. DeAndre Baker might be next. Because he looked pretty good before all of the nonsense happened.
Sneed is a young corner who made a lot of like big time plays, and so the hype. You're right. So just the hype there alone, the potential of what he could be makes him number one on there. But like you said, like the certainty of Bashaud Breland from that down to down value, like that or that down.
I would just
like,
rest
you,
easier
you
at night.
You don't. We don't know that we have that. L'Jarius Sneed could be that. We just don't know that he's that.
The thing that really I think everybody except for Breland have in common is a tremendous amount of possible variance. Again, I talk about the volatility of the cornerback position all the time. Breland in Kansas City has been really consistent for an NFL cornerback.
There's always that one game. You always get the one Bashaud Breland holding game a year where it feels like he gets called five times. But outside of that, like you don't hear his name a ton because he's just doing his thing.
I'd rather have one of those than end up in a reality where maybe there are eight games where someone just gets toasted.
Yep.
Think about, we remember the names of Philip Gaines and Marcus Cooper, Tre'Mon Smith. Tre'Mon Smith didn't get much. Tre'Mon Smith, I don't think ever actually got defensive snaps.
Not a lot of run as a corner, but it's played two different positions. And
that history is crazy. Who's with the Browns now? I think he's still with the Browns.
It's T. Mitchell, but I'm forgetting his
Terrence
first name.
Terrence Mitchell, yeah. You get those guys that
I think
that
he might
have
just signed with Houston, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
He was with the Browns. Think he's a Texan.
I didn't know that. Good for him. You find those guys who have great moments, and then eventually you remember because Peyton Manning just ignored all FCC regulations and stripped them down bare naked on national television and just threw footballs at their head like that SNL skit.
That one still haunts me. With Cooper. Like that one's, because he was playing well.
Yeah.
And then Peyton Manning figured out what he couldn't do.
And he never bounced back.
The NFL was just like, there it is.
It was over. We remember the names of those guys because of how bad it is whenever there is an absolute explosion at their position. And I just don't want David Amerson or Orlando Scandrick is the better one because Amerson got cut early.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to remember the name of this is not unfair because this happened to him in Minnesota. It's why he just got moved for a bag of chips. I don't want to remember Mike Hughes because he was the guy that got forced into action in week 6 because something horrible happened to L'Jarius Sneed. And now all of a sudden Mike Hughes is your starting outside corner opposite Charvarius Ward with Rashad Fenton in the slot. We just went very quickly from feeling really good about the Chiefs cornerbacks, or at least pretty good about the Chiefs cornerbacks, to a nightmare. The Chiefs do not have to be in that position, in part because all these dudes are cheap as hell right now. Bashaud Breeland would come in if it was a one-year deal and be the most expensive corner on this roster, and it still wouldn't be that much money. I mentioned Verderam earlier. He tweeted the exact thing that I was hoping to see, which was that the Hughes move doesn't close the door on Bashaud Breeland going back to KC. So that would be, again, for me right now, as someone who, by the way, has been worried about corners in a way that Brett Veach clearly has not been for his entire tenure as GM, just the whole time. Yep. Look, it's worked out. So with Spags, I can keep the Bob Sutton year. But with Spags, I didn't think L'Jarius Sneed was going to be a starter in week one, at least an excellent starter out of the gate as a rookie. I definitely didn't expect him to get hurt and then to come back totally reinvented and even more explosive. Spags and the defensive back coaches and everything have absolutely earned some trust on this from me. It's why I think the Hughes move makes a lot of sense. It's why I think DeAndre Baker is going to work out. It's why I won't totally say that seventh-round pick Bo Pete Keys will never see the field, because I don't know that. Because this defensive coaching staff has really gotten some good stuff out of guys that look like they might have been about out of the league. If Emmanuel Ogba, Taco Charlton, and that sort of crop of guys would have come in and just absolutely flamed out, they might be out of the league right now. Breeland Speaks got cut again today, by the way, if anyone's interested. But did you see he's getting a workout?
Never on the ground.
Did you see he's getting a workout, though?
Not on the ground, he's not.
Breeland Speaks?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Ooh, go Kelvin.
I'm just big hoping boy. He gets some activity in, you know. That's we've all had issues being kind of sedentary during the pandemic. I'm just glad to see Kelvin Benjamin out there working again. What if he just showed up shredded or super skinny? What if he showed up built like Devontae Smith?
I feel like if he showed up, like for him, shred is probably still is looking more like DK, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's still big, but like muscular big.
I'm saying if he shows up like Devontae Smith, just sinewy.
Chaos Warrior asks, is he trying out at guard?
I don't know, but if so, the Chiefs don't need him.
I feel like he's got the athleticism to play left tackle. With those arms, too?
Find his arm length, and we'll see. But I like the Hughes trade. I would like it even better if Bashaud Breeland was already on the roster, strangely enough. And I will go from being a bit of a concern, an optimistic concerned citizen from the cornerback group to being a full-on fanboy for it if they do end up adding Bashaud Breeland still. So keep an eye out for that. That's very important to the entire defensive equation at this point for me. I would love to see Bashaud Breeland back on this team. I don't know that it's going to happen. And if it doesn't, I think there's a world in which this is fine. I would just rather know for certain that it's a good group instead of just crossing my fingers and hoping for it.
You sleep a little bit. One quick thing, because I just, like, as you're talking about, obviously, the investment in the Chiefs corner, I have like the Spo track brought up, and they haven't added Mike Hughes yet to the corner spot, but they will, with the addition of Mike Hughes as a $3.1 million cap hit, will have invested $11.3 million in the cornerback position. Prior to Mike Hughes,
that's got to be bottom
the percentage
five-ish,
of
right?
their 2021 cap by corners is 4.35%.
Crazy.
That will obviously go up with Mike Hughes. I assume, just off the top of my head, it's probably maybe 5.5 at that point. Maybe it's up to 6, right around that area. But you're talking about a position that is going, it should be, I would assume, is under 6%. Cap allocation. Also, Travis Ward is the oldest player currently at 26. My Qs would be this is weirdly the same age as Sneed, Fenton, and Baker and Keys.
Yeah,
he's
young.
Been in the NFL obviously much longer.
Yeah, that was because he was at, I think it was North Carolina for his freshman year, and then transferred and came out right after that.
Sure, Travarius Ward will just be slightly above Hughes on the cap hit. Ward's at 3.3 this year. Hughes will be at 3.1. So, like, your top, yo, it's 3.3, 3.1, and then everybody else is under a million.
I might try to figure this out at some point during the show today, where the Chiefs stand in terms of total spending at the position among other NFL teams. Because it's got to be right there at the bottom of the league. If they end up around $6 million, in terms of cap hits for the position this year, their entire cornerback room will cost less than like Darius Slay, and that's barely. It'll cost less than Patrick Peterson's 1 year deal with the Vikings. By the way, worth noting in the trade from today, he'll make $8 million on a 1 year deal. It's an $8 million cap hit for the Vikings this year. The Chiefs' entire cornerback room will be a smaller cap hit this year than Patrick Peterson will be in Minnesota. So there's a fun stat for you if we can't bring you any more actually good information. That Kendall Fuller, high cap hit, top five-ish, six or seven, it looks like, in the league this year.
Go Kendall.
Get that money, Kendall.
Top trending players right now, Mike Hughes, Blake Bortles, Tim Tebow.
What else could you possibly? That right there, that Beards, I know he only said three consecutive names, but that might be an AES promo. Just slow it down to fill out 30 seconds. Just Rudy going, Mike Hughes, Blake Bortles, Tim Tebow. Almost entirely sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Some people click this podcast and it says, like, more on Spencer Ware to injured reserve, which isn't official yet, but whatever, and breaking down the Chiefs trade. And like, all right, hell yeah. Chiefs trade
with Joshua Briscoe.
And they clicked it, and we're 10 minutes in, and I'm about to explain the story of this pineapple hat that I'm wearing.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Okay, Rudy found the positional spending list we were looking for.
Did.
So can you tell me what you think the Chiefs' total cap hit at corner is going to be after Mike Hughes is added to it?
So once you add Mike Hughes, they should be essentially at $11.3 million. It might be $11.38 million, whatever. Essentially $11.3 million. They're at $8.2 million. His cap hit
really
is $3.1 million.
Do you know that the Chiefs are going to absorb that entire Mike Hughes
cap hit. That's actually
because on Spot Track over the cap they have Hughes having a $1.3 million dead cap hit with the Vikings, yes, if traded before June 1st. The Chiefs might only absorb about 1.8 of that, would be my guess.
That's a good point. Part of this is
that's his base salary. Yeah.
Let's roll with the 1.8. Give me a quick second.
In fact, I got it. You do the math. That's fine. I'll explain this real quick. So $1.3 million is his prorated bonus.
Yeah.
That money has already been paid. That's just the prorated bonus. You know, is just you get the signing bonus at the beginning of your deal.
Spaced out over 4 years.
It's just stretched out. So his $1.8 million base salary is what the Chiefs will actually pay.
Okay, cool.
So what is the Chiefs' cornerback number going to be, assuming they don't sign Breland or just without Breland right now?
Yeah, so essentially $10 million on the dot. They're currently at $8,201,000. Let's just say $1.8 million, just even $10 million.
I'll say it's bottom
$10.3 million.
I'm going to say they're 25th in the NFL at $10 million.
So prior to acquiring...
Maybe lower.
25th? Okay.
So, I'm going to say 25th, though. I feel like maybe 25th? there's a couple teams out there with a bunch of rookies that I'm not thinking of.
Mm-hmm. So prior to acquiring...
I'm going to say 26th.
26th, okay.
You know what? I'm going to say... Go ahead, Rudy. 26th.
Prior to acquiring Mike Hughes, they at $8.2 million, they were ranked 31st.
Wow.
Only the Cardinals at $7.299 million were lower. They now jump all the way to
28th. Boom.
That will be just, they were like by tens of thousands of dollars less than the Atlanta Falcons and just above the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go.
Yeah.
I just think that's super interesting because also this is a conversation we were having 3 years ago. It's not how I would have built my team. I would have gone and gotten a blue chip corner and just bitten the bullet and paid him for it. I'm not sure I would have been right, but it's what I would have done. It's kind of interesting.
And likely just looking at it right here, the teams around them, again, as far as the percentage of that cap, of the position towards the cap, the Buccaneers are at 5.34%. The Falcons are at 5.43%. The Chiefs will likely be right around that 5.4% mark. So pretty low.
To Twitch.
Compared to the Dolphins, who are at the top, who are spending almost 20%. Of their cap. They're at $38.8 million at the cornerback position.
Two quick Twitch comments before I do want to talk about the Chiefs' schedule, which was going to be the main thing today, and then this happened. Farrelly on Twitch, the most concerning position on defense is a defensive end. I think that right now it's defensive end because I don't love the depth and the expensive guy on the edge. I don't feel great about being Frank Clark, obviously. If they kick Chris Jones out for a considerable amount of edge work, I get a little less stressed about it. But it's definitely, I think that's number one. But I say that, and then Dillard on Twitch said, would you rather have any veteran defensive end available or Breland back? And so I did hear the thing that I just said 5 seconds ago, and I think I would probably rather have Breland back. I would expect, I'm doing it on a curve, right, where I think that Melvin Ingram is going to get more money in 2021 than Bashaud Breland is going to, wherever he ends up. But even then, like, I've got questions about Melvin Ingram that I'm not all the way relaxed about. If you got to say money is not an object or it's the same, I would rather split hair would rather have Justin Houston than Bashaud Breland. But I think if I'm doing it with the money at least involved, it's probably Houston, Breland, Ingram, I think. It's a good question. I haven't given that an enormous amount of thought, kind of ranking them that way. But that's where my head's at right now, kind of knee-jerk reaction.
My thought would probably, like, my initial thought would be Breland, just because I think the cornerback position's more valuable than the defensive end. Like, I think corners make better pass rushers versus the opposite. Right. But Spags clear, like, but for Spags and what the Chiefs defense does, they clearly put more value on the defensive end than the corners. And just so far, just from what I've seen Spags do with maybe less talented corners or even versus less talented defensive linemen, I would probably say if I had the choice, I would choose the defensive end for Spags, because I think he needs that more than he necessarily needs the talented corner. Now, maybe part of the reason why he's been able to piece together that cornerback, and really, piece together is not the right, because, again, they have some pretty talented guys. Legarius Sneed has obviously shown he has talent. Trevarius Ward's played well. Part of the reason why they've probably been able to figure that out is because of how stable Bashaud Breland has made that cornerback one spot. And so it is interesting. I think, again, just looking at it, though, since it is what Spags would do or what Spags would want, I think what maybe he needs in his defense, I think I lean towards, you know, that Ingram Houston. I personally would, obviously, I would draft corners with the with probably my first round pick every year.
Right.
Just corners and receivers all day long.
I think the cornerback group is a Breland addition away from being really good and really deep and not having to be a concern at all in 2021.
Yep.
I think the defensive end position is a Houston or an Ingram signing away from not being terrifying.
Better?
Yeah. It's And I guess it depends on what you'd rather do. I would rather make corner a strength, and part of this, because here's the thing, Melvin Ingram's not going to be a surefire thing to be like an upgrade and on the field for 17 games, you know?
And he doesn't necessarily make Frank Clark better, and ultimately at the end of the day, that's really what we're talking about. It's how good is Frank Clark this year, because if Frank Clark goes out and has 16 sacks, the defensive end spot looks pretty good all of a sudden. Yeah. If he goes out and has three, it doesn't really matter what Melvin Ingram does much on the other side, unless he, you know, reverts back to form, which I don't think he's going to play like he's 27 again. But I think that's a really good point.
Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about the Chiefs' schedule a little bit. We'll shift the Royals in 15 minutes with David Leskey. I just realized the clock that's usually here is gone. It's back there. Yeah. I looked over at just an empty space to see what time it was, and it's time for this.
I don't even know what time it is.
It's time for me to take a break. Who's playing corner? Who am I dropping back in the coverage? What day is it?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Category on Twitch solved the clock mystery, said Petra moved it, called it an unnecessary clock. I like this clock. It's not precise, and he's right on the truest level. There's a clock over here that exactly matches the clock I think that Beards is looking at.
What time you got?
04, 05,
yep.
06.
We're good.
So that's the one that I look at whenever I'm trying to, like, 100% make sure. If Beards is like, all right, you're going to be out at 50. When are we going to be out, Beards?
57.
On the dot?
57.
56,
50. I need to know this stuff, Beards. What if that last 10 seconds was going to be the best reader we're going to do all day, and all of a sudden it's gone?
56, 50.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now I just wasted 10 seconds talking about those 10 seconds. Now I'm out 20 seconds. 21, 22,
23.
But this clock is much larger. Like, this is the size of my entire hand. And so just a quick little glance over there, you know, it's not, it's off by a minute. But over, you know, in the mid-show times, it's nice. At the end of an hour, I'll look over the little one. Anyway, the Chiefs' schedule dropped. We were live as it was happening here on 810. In fact, podcasted on the AES feed if you wanted to hear my live, like, here's what I think is interesting sort of breakdown. And if you didn't hear it or have not yet committed it to memory yet, here's Andy Reid telling you the schedule.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Browns. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Ravens. We look forward to the challenge of playing L.A. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Eagles. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Buffalo Bills.
I do look forward to the challenge of playing a good football team.
That one's
look forward to the challenge of playing the Titans. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Giants. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Green Bay Packers. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Raiders. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Cowboys.
This is the bye week.
Look forward to the challenge of playing Denver.
I look forward to the challenge of playing the Raiders.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Chargers. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Steelers. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Bengals. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos.
All right, well, that time's yours.
And whipping all their butts.
That Beard's added that part. That was from the courtesy of the Chiefs Twitter account. A really excellent video.
Very well done.
To give out the schedule. So there's your 18-week season. The Chiefs have the maximum number of primetime games. They have five. One of them is in week two on the road at Baltimore. Another early season Baltimore challenge, and we'll see how that goes. But it's at Baltimore, Sunday Night Football. Week five, they host the Bills on Sunday Night Football, which should be a lot of fun. Week eight, kind of a weird one. Giants at Chiefs Monday Night Football, just because we don't see any of the NFC teams all that often.
And it's also a Monday Night game.
And it's a Monday Night game against
the Giants.
Maybe the least interesting team in that division for me. I guess it's probably Washington.
You don't know. Interesting, then. It's Daniel Bleepin' Jones.
I'm guessing that that's one of the Giants' few primetime games, and the rest of the NFC East probably already had a lot on the schedule.
You know what I just realized going into that game?
It'd be hard for me to read your mind.
We're going to hear a lot of, oh, but Saquon Barkley can beat the Chiefs. They're just going to run the ball all
day. When was the last time he was healthy in Week 8?
2 years ago.
Yes.
So we'll see. I mean, maybe. Then 2 weeks later, there are a couple stretches in this season that I think is going to be a lot of fun and also very challenging. Week 10, they go to the Raiders, Sunday Night Football, new stadium, all that. That's going to be a blast. And then week 15, they go to the Chargers for Thursday Night Football, traveling for Thursday Night Football. Second year in a row, by the way. Last year was going to be the Bills game, but it got moved around.
Yeah.
That's a tough break, though. I wish that if there was any game over the course of the year where the Chiefs could lock in a home game, I would say whatever Thursday night is, because not having to actually travel for that would obviously be very nice.
I don't know what the updated, like, it's been a couple of years since I've seen like the winning percentage, but I know a few years ago whoever the home team was for Thursday night football was winning 75% of the time. I imagine that hasn't changed much, if at all. It's different when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. You can go on the road on Thursday Night Football and win anytime because you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. It is just a different kind of challenge.
You'd rather not.
Yes,
you can, but you'd just rather not. I can put more expensive gas in my car
for sure,
but I would rather not.
Exactly.
So a couple stretches here that I think are the most interesting. So you go Browns at home, at Ravens, Chargers at home, 1-2-3. Three straight good teams. I think the Chiefs are better than all those three teams, but they're three good teams right there. Mm-hmm. At Eagles, Andy Reid, homecoming thing, but they should win that game. Then it's Bills at home, Sunday Night Football. So that first 5 weeks is tough. Out of that, they go to Washington, should be fine. They go to Tennessee, and Derrick Henry will just run the ball and keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. I don't see what the problem here is.
Time of possession influences wins. We all know it.
So I think the Chiefs will be fine there, but that's a playoff-caliber team that plays really... That Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown do give me pause, even while Derrick Henry doesn't give me very much. After that, you get Monday Night Football against the Giants team you should be fine against. Then it's the Packers at home. Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, Blake Bortles... Who's to say?
Only team I believe Andy Reid has never beat as the head coach of the Chiefs.
Interesting.
I know he's never beat the Packers as head coach of the Chiefs 0-2. I believe it's the only team he's never beat.
Do you think he beat them in Philly at some point? He had to in Philly at some point, right?
I would assume they played each other enough times. He definitely did.
I wouldn't have guessed that he was at 30 with as a Chiefs head coach. That's crazy. Although Patrick Mahomes, I think, has actually beaten like almost everybody. So that would sync up in a very short stretch. So then you have that game going into your Sunday Night Football at Vegas, and then you get the Cowboys at home, which could be sneaky tough because Dak's back. Then you get a late season bye. You like that. And then out of the bye, the Chiefs go back to what they do best. Broncos at Chiefs, Raiders at Chiefs, Chiefs at Chargers. That is a brutal stretch of three straight divisional games, but it's coming off a bye, and that is going to decide right there. The AFC West should be over by week 15, but that's a toughie. And then you get the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Broncos. Should be three wins to finish it out there. But not knowing where Aaron Rodgers is going to be, not knowing exactly how much the Chargers will be able to bring to the table, also only one bye week in the postseason again, it should be a very fun schedule, although I was going to say that no matter what the order was.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.